The Word of God. This is a beautiful scripture. The secret things belong to the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong to us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law. Lord, thank you for your word. Let's be seated. Ron, it's all yours.
Good morning, church family. How are we doing today? You know, I really, really enjoy this time of the year. You guys all look pretty happy and like you're smiling. Some of you just must have made it off of Santa's not naughty list. So I'm happy about that. But I really enjoy this time of year. It's really a good time to be able to get together and get in front of people for a couple reasons. One, most people are pretty happy because, you know, it's just after Christmas. There's a lot of new toys and things to play with. If you're anything like my kids, they are just ecstatic with everything that's going on and everything that's new in their place and that's happening and new toys and games for them to play with. Not only that, though, I get really excited about this time of the year because usually if you're someone like my wife who usually handles cooking all the meals in the house, usually has some leftovers that are going on. It kind of makes the week easy. Got the time that's coming up in the new year. You're always looking forward to that. So some excitement about some things that are going into the new year. And of course, last but not least, you haven't busted any of your New Year's resolutions yet. So, I mean, is anybody out there like me who is just absolutely notorious for making the same New Year's resolution every year and it just doesn't quite get done? Yes, confessions, right? I think that's something that we can all kind of relate to or that we've all been through. It's just that we have that New Year's resolution that we make and we have all this good intentions of getting it started off right. And then somewhere along the lines, we just end up kind of falling apart and failing with it. And pretty soon food looks really good to us. And like, I'm going to cheat on that diet. It's another good thing. Like around this time of year, your workout clothes still fit. If anybody been like Christmas to me, like, it's kind of embarrassing, but if you've asked for workout clothes for Christmas and then the following year had to ask for workout clothes again because you outgrew the ones from last year, it's just painful. You wore them out. That's here. Say maybe you just wore them out. I wore them out looking at them is probably what happened. It's never quite there. So what I wanted to do today, I just wanted to maybe give a couple practical tips just about how to start something new. Get the privilege of not only preaching, this is the last time we'll be together in 2019, but moving into the 2020, it's not only a new year, but a new decade as well. So just wanted to kind of give some practical tips today at how to start something new. And I want to do that out of Deuteronomy, like Bruce read for us, verse 29:29. So if you want to flip there and kind of mark that place, keep it in your Bible, and that's where we'll be working out of today. So why Deuteronomy 29:29? So just to give a little bit of background context as to what's going on in that chapter is there's a lot of new things that are happening for the people Israel, God's people Israel. Moses has been leading to Israel, and he's finally getting this point where he's about to lead them into the promised land. So there's a lot of new things that are happening for Israel. They're no longer slaves like they once were in the land of Egypt. They've been set free, and in this new freedom, they're starting to move, and they've been in this place where they're wandering through the desert for a period of time, just trying to get to this promised land. And finally, at the end of the book of Deuteronomy, here where we're at in chapter 29, Moses has led them all this time, but there's some new things that are about to happen because Israel is about to move into a promised land. It's not like they're going to be wanderers. They're not going to be nomads. Their lifestyle is going to change. There's going to be a land that they're settling in. This is going to be a home. Instead of kind of renting and moving place to place, they're making a permanent settlement. They're going to be there. They're going to be able to plant vineyards and plant crops. They're going to be able to raise their family and their generations in this new place that God has promised them. There's a lot of optimism and hope that goes along with that. Not only are they moving into a new location, into the promised land, but there's going to be a change of leadership as well. Moses is age. He's about to pass away. His time for leading Israel is coming to an end. And Joshua is going to be the new man who takes up that mantle and carries Israel into the promised land. And there's a lot of newness that goes along with that. So there's a time of optimism that's really going on for the most part for the people of Israel at this time, because they're finally getting to settle into this land of promise. They have this new leader who's going to be leading them into them, and things are finally just really looking up for Israel. So this is what happens before they start and before they enter into all these new things that are about to be happening. The first thing that happens, the first thing that goes on, Moses gathers everybody together and he calls them in the land of Moab to come together. And the first thing that they do is they recommit to God. So step number one, first thing that I would say, if you want to enter, if you want to start the year off, or not really just the year, if you want to start anything off right, you want to start something new the right way, first thing that we can do is recommit or commit that to God. So there's some really cool things that happen, first off, when you commit to God, or when you commit things to God. So one of the first things that happen is you actually reflect on how God has been. Deuteronomy chapter 29, a few verses before, and in chapter 5, it says this. This is Moses saying, or God speaking. He says, "And I have led you 40 years in the wilderness, and your clothes have not worn out, and your sandals have not worn on your feet, and you have not eaten bread, nor have you drank the wine or similar drink, that you may know that I am the Lord your God. And when you came into this place, Sion, king of Heshbon, and Og, king of Bashan, came out against you in battle, and you conquered them, and we took their land, and we gave it as an inheritance to the Reubenites and the Gadites and to half the tribe of Manasseh. Therefore, keep the words of this covenant and do them, that you may prosper in all that you do." So we just see it that before they go into renewing this covenant with God, there's this little bit of time where they're kind of reflecting on everything that God has done for them and everything that God has been with them over this past, saying God has delivered us in this battle, and maybe that's a lot of your story today while you're here at church, maybe seeking God, or you can look back over the past decade and you can see at times where God's hand has been present in your life, and you can see that it's been good, and you're searching and you're seeking, just trying to find out a little bit more about who God is and how he works, and you can acknowledge the things that have been going in your past. Or maybe it's a situation where you've been walking with God for some time, and you know that you want to continue that, because when you reflect and you look back over the past years of your life, the past decade and before that, you can see all the times that God has been present and came through you, and that this is a God that you want to commit to and continue a relationship and continue walking with. Because when you look back and you start this thing new, and you're recommitting to God, you're reflecting on everything that God has done in the past and everything that he's been there and all the times that he's been there for you. And also, another great thing that's coming out after this commitment to God, or this recommitment in the case of Israel, is that they're acknowledging their need for God. They're saying, "I'm not entirely sure what's ahead in the future. I'm not sure what's going to be happening, what's going on. But the thing that I am certain and sure of is that I'm going to need God to be there for me. I'm acknowledging my need for God. I'm committing to God because I know that whatever the future holds, I need God in my life. I need the stability of that relationship with him." And ultimately, the last thing I just want to put there is, when you're committing to God, that is what you're really doing. When you're committing to God, you're saying, "God, I'm inviting you into my future." They're entering into this covenant. Israel is at this place before they enter into the new land, because they're joining this covenant because they say, "God, we're inviting you to maintain, to have this relationship with us in this new land. We don't want to be lost and strangers, like wandering around this new land far from you. We want to invite you into our future and follow out and keep this relationship we have." And that's the same thing that we do whenever we commit to God. We say, "God, we're inviting you into our future." And everything that comes along with that, through all the uncertainty that's about it. And that's a real good thing. Because whenever we try to think of the future, if we're honest, it's a pretty uncertain place to us. The future has a lot of uncertainty. I mean, when I look back in and we kind of think about what the 2010s had for us, I can almost guarantee that nobody could have predicted all the twists and turns that would have got you to the place that you're at, how you're here today. God works like that. There's a lot of twists and turns along the way, a lot of different changes and things that happen. The future is just very uncertain for us. That's why I love working with youth, because they think they have it all figured out. Going to go to this college, and I'm going to go here and get this degree, and I'm going to get this job here and work for X amount of years and retire with this salary and this amount in my savings. And I just laugh and say, that's so cute. It's adorable that you think that that's how things are going to work and happen and play out. The truth is, anybody's been around long enough, we know the future is a really uncertain place. There's a lot of things that we just don't know that'll happen. So that's the second thing that I really think that we can do, is if we're looking into the future and we understand that it's a certain place, how to start something new the right way is we can invite God into the uncertainty. So what does this mean? Everything new comes with uncertainty. That's what makes it new. That's the nature of it. That's why it's something new, because there's unknown things about it. Everything new comes with uncertainty. So when you commit to God, what you're doing is you're inviting the stability of a relationship with Christ into a future that is uncertain. So what does that mean? What I'm saying is, just like if you look at Israel in here, there's times when there's going to be good and there's times when there's going to be bad things that happen throughout this next decade of your life. Israel saw that really well, and it's really cool because God actually reveals this in the chapters around our verse today to Israel. He reveals that this is what's going to be happening to them. He says, Israel, I'm entering into this relationship with you. I'm entering into this covenant with you, and I set before you life, and I set before you death. I set before you blessings, and I set before you cursings. And in your future, there's going to be times when you do both. There's going to be times when you enjoy the fullness of a relationship with me, when you're committed and you're following me, and there's going to be blessings. The land will be blessed. There'll be the prosperity that comes along with that because of that relationship and because of the way that you're interacting with me. That's going to be in your future. But there's also going to be times when you rebel against me. And in these times of rebellion, it's actually going to get so bad, it's going to be to a point where you're led into captivity. All those blessings and those things that you might have been expecting, it's going to become a curse to you. And this is what God says. He says, in your future, there's going to be a time of both blessing, and there's going to be a time of cursing, a time when you're following me and committed, a time when you're rebelling against me. And that's in your future. But when and where and how and what it looks like when that happens, you have not the slightest clue, because this is the secret thing that belongs to the Lord. So everything new comes with uncertainty, and I like this idea. He says that everything that's going on, everything that's happening in the future, it's going to belong to me alone. There's things that you don't know. There's going to be times where you're just so uncertain about what's happening, what's going forward. You just can't quite make it all out. But God is saying that's just because it's a secret thing. It's a secret thing of the Lord. So what's God saying when he's saying about that? He's saying a couple things. Like first God is saying to this point when he says, when you look into the future and everything that I hold, it's to me alone. I'm the one that can understand and predict the future. I'm the person that knows it. All that uncertainty that you might feel and hold for the future, even though it's uncertain to you, It's by no means uncertain to me, because I am God, and the secret things, what's been a secret to you, has never been a secret to me. So what is unknown to God what is unknown to us is thankfully not unknown to God. So when I think about this and we look at it and we try to see, why is it that we would invite God into the uncertainty, unto the things that we don't know about life, unto the things that are happening in the next decade and the things that we don't know? Because when God looks at it and God sees it clearly, even though we can't, the reason that he does that is because he's holy other. So the next point I want to try to bring about this, how to start something new, how to really run along with that, is we can actually just see God for what he is, holy other. And no, this isn't a typo. I didn't mean to spell holy, H-O-L-Y. What I'm trying to say here is, yes, God is holy and we're not like that. But what we're trying to say is God is just totally different than us. We're sinful. God is perfect. There's always things, and I think that we so often we just struggle with this concept, trying to see God as wholly different, as wholly just other than us, because we always want to try to grab God and pull him down and bring him into this place that's totally comprehensible for us. But that's just not who God is. In fact, I put it this way, that if we could look at God and we could somehow sit with him face to face without dying and look at him and have a conversation, and that we could somehow utter out questions without being totally scared and be able to have him answer these questions right before us, if we could sit down for that time being and ask him every question that would come through our mind, if we went through every single question, even though it might help us advance a little bit theologically, we wouldn't know a fraction of what there is to know about God. Because God is unsearchable. There's so much that we'll just never be able to quite understand about God. I mean, when we think about it, this is the same God who came in the flesh for 3 years and did his ministry here, ministered for 3 years, and through all our generations, we look back and we try to see this and try to figure out what's going on, and it still blows our mind. I mean, he gave us these few pages of scripture, and what we do is for millennia, thousands of people, millions of people have gone through this word and tried to dissect it and look through it, and the things that we can understand, it's still blowing our mind to this day. There's always things that we just don't quite understand about God. I mean, it was just a glimpse of God's glory. God's glory is something that we can't describe, yet alone explain. We think of God as wholly other. That means he's just never feared. He's never been one who's been in need of something. He doesn't worry about things the way that we do. He doesn't have these anxieties. He's not surprised. He doesn't do things the way that we would. The things that he does, so often it's just a mystery to us the way that God operates. Paul gets to the same exact point in Romans chapter 11 when God kind of gives him a glimpse into how he's working. His only conclusion that he can come to is he says, "Oh, the depths of the riches of both the wisdom and the knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. For who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has become his counselor, or who has first given to him that it should be repaid to him? For of him and through him and to him are all things, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen." It's just this idea, God is wholly other. God is like this. So when we look at our uncertainty and we say, where am I placing a certain, God is saying, there's all these things, there's always things that will be uncertain to you. But those things that are uncertain to you are not uncertain to me, because I'm God, I'm God alone, I'm wholly other, and the unsearchable things, the things that are unknown, the things that you don't know, the secret things, they belong to me. I love this eye, but God says that all the uncertainty, and I think we can relate to this so much because we all go through our life and we have these points where there's uncertainty in life. But God's statement is this: all that uncertainty that you have, what I want you to do is I want you to trust me with that uncertainty. Those things that you don't know, the things that you might have these anxieties about, that you've looked in and you just can't quite understand, what I want you to do is I want you to trust me with that uncertainty, because that's what belongs to me. It's uncertain to you, but it's not uncertain to me. So this is kind of leads to the last point, or what I could really say that we can do to really start the year off right. The last thing that we can do when we're dealing or we have this uncertainty that we're coping with is that we can just cherish what God has revealed to us. This is what Deuteronomy 20:29 is really all about here. After he gets to this point, it says the secret things belong to the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed to us belong to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law. I love the idea of what the law was to Israel. I think in this present day, we just don't quite understand what that law meant to Israel. We like to say that it's something that's legalistic, or it might be burdensome to us or time, but that's not the way that Israel would have viewed the law in any kind of way. What the law was to Israel was it was God showing them that he was not indifferent in any kind of way to their life, that he cared about the day-to-day happenings that were going on in their life. The law was something that revealed the character of God, because while they were going through all these other places and there were all these abominations, all these different child sacrifices and things that were happening, they were just wicked in the land. God gave them this law that provided stability and provided this promise that when you're following me, when you're in a relationship with me, when you're my people, I'm not going to act like that. I'm not going to require those type of things. That's not the type of God I am. I'm revealing to you the God that I am through his law. That law was something that was so cherished because it revealed the heart of God to the people of Israel. And that's why when they think about it, they reflect on this law. It's something that was cherished. It was something that was passed on to generation because it was loved and it reflected God's heart towards them. And it's the same thing, I think, for us. When we reflect and we look back and we see the places and the things that God has revealed to us, those are things that should be cherished. How much more so for us today with what's been revealed to us? To cherish what has been revealed to us. So I want to put forward two challenges today. Two challenges today just about what has been revealed to us. So the first one, I want to kind of put this one forward to maybe the person who's just seeking or wanting to know a little bit more about God, or just maybe hasn't quite committed to that relationship with God fully, or just looking to look a little bit more into who Jesus is and is searching out. This is what I would say to you. I would say that there's always going to be something that you don't know about God. There's always going to be something that you don't know about God. You can allow what's unknown about God to keep you from that relationship with God. Or the other choice, what you can do is you can cherish what God has been revealed to you. So what has God revealed? So 2,000 years ago, we just celebrated a baby was born. This last week, Christmas, we celebrate this. There was a child was born. But this child was not like any other child. This child was perfect. This child was divinity in the flesh. And what he did is he lived a perfect life that was so much different than ours, because we all know that we all sin, that we all fail, that there's things that we just do that where we really drop the ball. But not this child. This child was perfect in every single way, divinity in the flesh. And what he grew up with, he says, Jesus did this. He said that he gave his life, not that anybody took it. It wasn't that it was stolen from him in any kind of way. But Christ freely gave his life so that we, being sinful, might take on the life that we don't deserve. An eternal life, a perfect life. We might take on the perfection, the gift of his perfection in our life might be given to us. That we could have a relationship where we're renewed and we're one again with Christ, with God. That's the gift of Jesus, what he came to do. That's something that, and through that, this is what God has revealed. God has revealed how much he loves us, how much he cares for us, and the depths that he would go to be in a relationship with us. That's who Christ is, and that's something that's been revealed. Yes, I know there's a ton of things and a lot of questions that honestly, we just might not ever have the answer to. But we can look and we can see clearly what has been revealed by Christ. That love and that affection, that character for God to come after us. Just like Israel cherished the law, we can see Christ in his scripture, in his word. The things that he has left for us, we can see clearly Jesus and his heart for us. So that would be my challenge to you, is to continue to seek in this, because Proverbs says like this, it's the glory of God to conceal a matter, but the glory of kings to search a matter out. It's the glory to continue to press in and to continue to look for God and cherish the things that he has revealed to us. My second challenge, I want to put it forward to maybe the people of this church that have been here for a time, my brothers and sisters in Christ. I mean, I think it's only been a little over a year with me here now, but I feel like I've been here for the whole decade with you guys. Thank God has really blessed me with that. And I know there's a lot of things when we look to our future, we don't know about. There's no way that we possibly could. But there are things that are revealed to us today. When I look out and I look at this church, I see people who absolutely love Jesus. I see a church of people who are dedicated to furthering that relationship with him. I see people with a heart that all they want to do is they want to learn and be able to serve better. I see people with a generosity that is rare that I haven't seen before in life. People that are just willing to step out and go above and beyond just to help those people and do the little things that really matter. That's not something that just came naturally. That's not just something that's part of our nature. That's something that God has put in this church. That's something that God has worked out over the years to bring us to a point where we operate that way, where we love the way that we do at this point. That's God working to reveal something to us. And we can continue to search that out and we continue to look for that because we know that God is trying to do something with us faithfully. He doesn't put in all that work. He doesn't bring us as a sinful congregation to the place we've come today to not do something great for his name. So when I look out and I see our congregation, that's the same thing that I would say, like, cherish what God has revealed to us. Cherish the things that he has revealed about this congregation and the character and the things that he has developed within us. Because it's a thing of beauty and something to cling and something to hang on to and something to carry moving forward into the next new year, to the next decade, which I'm so excited to be able to share with and move into with you guys. So guys, let's pray together. Say thank you for God, what you have done. Lord, I thank you so much for just your character, your love for us, that when we invite you into the future, the stability that goes along with that, Lord, of knowing there's a relationship with somebody who will never leave us and will never forsake us, who will be with us through the ups and the downs and everything that goes along with it. Jesus, we're so thankful for you, and we don't know what the future holds. We can't quite understand it, or we wouldn't be able to comprehend it all, but what we do know is that we can have a relationship with you, and that's what we're going to cling on to. We can reflect and look back and see all the things that you've done in our life, Lord, and we're so grateful for it all. Many of us have tasted and seen the goodness of you, Lord, and Lord, that's what we want more and more and more of. So, Lord, we just pray your blessing over us in this next decade to come. Lord, we pray that we would be a people that is humble before you and acknowledges our need for you in everything that comes up, and that we cling to you through it all, Jesus. And Father, bless us to this end as we just submit ourselves before you, Lord, and continue to search out the things you have in store for us. Father, we're so thankful, and we pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen.